I greet in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is such an honor and it's a blessing for me to be able to share with you today. You all have been so good to me and my family, and it is just a privilege for me to serve you, and I really appreciate that. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I welcome you to the table of our Lord. The scripture readings that we've chosen to draw our minds to worship today, I was led to these as I was preparing, and I was amazed at how they fit together as one unit. And please listen to these words. They come from Psalm 107, Isaiah 51, and Psalm 106. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Therefore the redeemed of Zion shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy and holiness shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us continue by singing hymn 92.
Father, we bow before you and give you thanks, Father, for that invitation that you gave to each and every one of us to come together from the world around us and to separate ourselves from it and to come together as brothers and sisters to celebrate, Father, not just the opening days of a new year, but to come together the second time in this first month of the year to remember you, Father. We were reminded this morning during the 9:45 that all good things come from you. And Father, as I look upon my life, I see much, much goodness that has been given and bestowed upon me from numerous sources. And it's important, Father, that we realize that all goodness comes from you. And as we pointed out, Lord, that when we do good to someone else, it's goodness that comes from you through us to them. And so, Father, as we come together this morning to remember your Son, Jesus Christ, and not just the sacrifice and the tremendous price that he paid for our sins and our shortcomings, but we also come together, Father, to recognize his goodness. And that there was no one, not a single creature that came to him that he was belligerent to, critical of, but was always compassionate and filled with love. And with every question they would ask, he would give them a loving response, even if it was in the form of a rebuke. So, Father, we bow before you, recognizing we are all fallen creatures. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why we bow in prayer, as we recognize our true position with you. But we come seeking, Father, for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness. But pray, Father, you would also keep us in constant awareness of how good you have been to us. Even the fact that we are born into this nation, and born into loving families, and led to this loving congregation, Father, our lives are filled with love and goodness, and it comes from you. And so we praise you and give you thanks forevermore. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Offertory scripture today comes from 3 Nephi, chapter 11, verse 13. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Will our deacons please come forward? Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we do come before you with grateful and joyful hearts, realizing how greatly you have blessed each and every one of us throughout our lives. We realize that everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we do is a blessing and a gift from you, Father. And we do joyfully give back to you those things you have blessed us with. Please take these gifts that we give to you, take them and bless them. May they be multiplied for use in building your kingdom. May we do much good in your kingdom in this part of your world. Father, take them and bless them. Give us the wisdom and the stewardship to use them wisely. I ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
morning. I do greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and recognize his blessings unto us, and pray that his Holy Spirit will guide us as we come to worship him this day, in spirit and in truth, and to bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. We have embarked on a new year, and today, as we participate in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, partaking of our Lord's broken body and spilled blood, might we continue to remember and allow his Holy Spirit to engulf us, to cleanse us, to sanctify our lives for his purposes. Certainly we do remember the covenant that we made in the waters of baptism and the new covenant that our Lord in Jesus Christ came. And so as we prepare and continue our preparations to partake, might we allow his Holy Spirit to guide and bless us. I'd like to use scriptures from Moroni. The manner of the elders and the priests administering the flesh and blood of Christ to the church, they administered it according to the commandments of Christ. Wherefore we know the manner to be true, and the elder or priest administered it. And they knelt down with the church and prayed to the Father in the name of Christ, saying, O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to all the souls. The manner of administering the wine, behold, they took the cup and said, O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine, the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son. And so as we reach forth this morning and partake, may we truly recognize the great gift that's been given to each one of us. And may the Holy Spirit sanctify our lives in such a manner that we partake worthily of this sacrament to go forth, powered again to do his will in all things, as we recognize the blessings of our Heavenly Father, is my prayer.
much as possible facing the emblems as the prayer is read upon the bread. As possible facing the emblems as the prayer is read upon the wine.
O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his spirit to be with them. Amen.
Has everyone received their serving of their portion of the bread and wine? We'll consider that all have been served.
Would you bow with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Father, I raise my voice today to the one who has created all things, to the one who has sustained us all the days of our lives, the one who has provided for the eternal life of man. I raise my voice to the shepherd of our souls. Father, we realize that many times that we have wandered from the path that you've called us to, wandered from the path that we have embarked on, even at the waters of baptism. And yet in your grace and in your mercy, you welcome us back. Inasmuch as we are willing to repent, and inasmuch as we are willing to strive anew to walk that straight and narrow pathway. And so, Father, we come at this time having renewed that covenant, having been washed once again, clean and pure before thee. I pray, Father, that each one may go from this place with a keen awareness of the need that we each one have for thee and for your mercy and your grace and your love that you bestow so abundantly upon us. For that we are thankful, Father. For without that we are lost. And all is lost. But you are a Father of love. And so you look upon us with concern and with pity and with love. And so I ask, Father, that the power of your Spirit might rest upon each one here today. That as we seek to be your people, that you would be pleased to be called our God. And that we would not quickly turn, but that our way might be straight before us. And that we might look to thee, our only author of life and salvation. So bless us to this end, Father, for we ask it in the worthy name of Jesus, who has made all possible through his gift for us. Amen.
And from that time forth there were wars and bloodshed among them, but the Lord came and dwelt with his people, and they dwelt in righteousness. And the fear of the Lord was upon all nations, so great was the glory of the Lord which was on his people. And the Lord blessed the land, and they were blessed upon the mountains, and upon the high places that did flourish. And the Lord called his people Zion, because they have one heart and one mind, and dwelt in righteousness, and there were no poor among them. And he continued his preaching in righteousness unto the people of God. And it came to pass in his day that he built a city that was called the City of Holiness, even Zion. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word is my prayer.
Come the fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Never a thought me wander from thee. Never a grief me. God, I love. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Never affect me, wander from thee. Never leave me, God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it for thy courts above. Ooh, ooh.
Again, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust that as we continue to worship him in spirit and truth, his Holy Spirit will guide and direct us in this new year. Marilyn, if you're on Zoom, we say Happy New Year to you. And we miss you and any of those on Zoom, Sylvia, possibly, and others that may be on Zoom. We welcome you also. Wish the Holy Spirit to bless you and your families and loved ones. We are in a new year. Sheila and I were asked to go to Nigeria and have a youth camp there. And as we arrived there, we didn't realize that the word youth in Nigeria means anyone from 2 years old to 80 years old if you're single. We didn't realize that when we were asked to do this. But needless to say, it didn't make any difference except that our numbers were gradually increased. But at that youth camp, the youth had come up with a theme, "Do a new thing with me." Lord, do a new thing with me. And they had a song. They sang a song about that. Lord, do a new thing. I wish I could remember that. Favor Vera was in our youth camp at that time. Now she's married and we've got children, her and Dio. And but she was in there. And the other thing the youth liked to do was to act out plays, scripture plays. And it was exciting, their enthusiasm that they showed for the gospel. And that has stuck with me. It's been several years ago now. But do a new thing. And I need that kind of motivation for this new year. Lord, do a new thing in our lives. Do a new thing in my life. We need to recognize the newness and what it can be about. I've gone to section Doctrine and Covenants 83. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to use a few scriptures from there, section 83. I'm going to read part of the subtitle. Joseph Smith and some of his close associates returned from Independence to Kirtland, and here work on the scriptures was resumed. During August and September, many of the elders who had been on mission in the East also returned to Kirtland. Here on September 22nd and 23rd, 1832, the following revelation was given through Joseph Smith. It was received in the presence of six elders and is known as the Revelation on Priesthood. And I'd like to use the first script, 1A, 2, and C, and into 2 a little bit. A revelation of Jesus Christ unto his servant Joseph Smith Jr. and six elders as they united their hearts and lifted their voices on high. Yea, the word of the Lord concerning his church established in the last days for the restoration of his people, as he has spoken by the mouth of his prophets, and for the gathering of his saints who stand upon Mount Zion, which shall be the city, New Jerusalem. And as Eldon shared with me that today the theme, if he would have stated a theme, would be the redemption of Zion. And so the scriptures just kind of popped out at me as I was reading this section. The redemption of Zion. Let's continue with C. Which city shall be built beginning at the temple lot, which is appointed by the finger of the Lord in the western boundaries of the state of Missouri, and dedicated by the hand of Joseph Smith Jr. and others with whom the Lord is well pleased. Verily, this is the word of the Lord, that the city New Jerusalem shall be built by the gathering of the saints, beginning at the place, even the place of the temple, which temple shall be reared in this generation. For verily, this generation shall not all pass away until a house shall be built unto the Lord, and a cloud shall rest upon it, which cloud shall be even the glory of the Lord, which shall fill the house. As I read that scripture and thought about our new year, and so in front of those, the main points of that revelation, I thought about a new restoration. A new restoration. Bring about new understandings. And a new gathering. We've talked about gathering all our lives about. And we know that Jesus Christ would have had us gather like a hen gathereth her chicks under her wing, and he's asked us also to gather. I don't think our gathering's complete. A new gathering, bringing about new opportunities, new challenges, new spiritual growth, and of course the climax to the city, New Jerusalem, the redemption of Zion. And I'm interested in this, pointed by the finger of the Lord. We know the brother of Jared had that experience, where when they didn't want to travel across the ocean in those barges being dark, and when the brother of Jared took the molten 16 stones to the Lord and said, Lord, I know you can do all things. Would you not have us travel in those barges in the dark? And the Lord asked him what he would do, and that's why he went up to the top of the mountain and molten those stones and presented them unto the Lord. And he saw the finger of the Lord. And the Lord said, did you see anything else? And the brother Jared said, no, but he had fell backwards. He was in fear, didn't realize that the Lord was flesh and blood. And we know the rest of the story of him seeing the Christ and the Christ appearing unto him. And so here again, the finger of the Lord pointing to the area where the temple should be built. And I had the opportunity to go into the Hedrickite church before the old one, before it burned down. I wanted to talk to them about the temple lot. I was interested in that. I got to talk to a James Case, and of course the cornerstone from the northwest corner of the temple was placed in the wall of that building, and I got to see that. And James Case then said to me, he said, "Would you like to see the blueprint for the temple?" And of course that thrilled me. And he brought it out and showed me the blueprint of what the temple there would look like. Not like the house of the Lord, not like at Kirtland. But if you want to see the picture of that, it's in the Price, the bookstore. There's a picture painted by Robert. I think his last name now, Farley. And a picture is painted from that blueprint. I don't know that if they lost the blueprint in the fire, if they don't no longer have it. But anyway, he showed that to me. And we just shared testimonies of how what the temple lot would, what it's about, why it's sitting there in the middle of Independence, still vacant, still ready for the house of the Lord to be built there. And as we shared, there's another legend that goes along with the placement. There was used to be a pile of rocks on that temple lot. And I think many of you know that history, that legend, the legend of when several Indian tribes were there, they were going to battle over who would get the hunting grounds. And Jesus Christ came to that spot and ministered unto them, told them to wash their war paint off, which they did. The legend says that the Missouri River turned red. And they were asked then to bring a rock back from their homes of places where they lived each year and to build a monument to signify that place, to appoint the places appointed. They wanted to remember where it was at. So each year, and that pile of rocks got be quite large. Just before Cecil Abbott passed away, he had the opportunity to visit with him, and I know Bob Emmer knew Cecil real well, did a lot of Indian ministries, and Cecil shared this testimony. He said there was four chiefs that wanted to know where their tribal stones were, and so they asked the Hedrickites if they could camp on their grounds, and they allowed that. And they prayed unto the Lord where their tribal stones were. And the Lord spoke to them and told them, "You are setting on them." And what happened was the Hedrickites actually went ahead and tried to build a building there, put up a temple. They had the foundation dug. And there used to be a road that went between where the auditorium sits and to where the other street intersects there. And as they were, they weren't able to complete the foundation. The Lord evidently stopped that process. I saw a picture of it, and those pile of stones then went into that road, and so they're no longer evident there. But the Lord told the chiefs where they were. They were setting on them. And so, appointed by the finger of the Lord, and of course we still know that that's going to take place. His word will not return unto him void. That house will be there, that new temple, that house unto the Lord. A new cloud will rest upon it, which cloud will be the glory of the Lord. He will fill the house with newness of the power of the Lord, with all the gifts of the Spirit, which will bring a newness of life. And as I think about that, what a joy to think about that, and to recognize the blessings that and the witness that will take place as that edifice is constructed. We have the testimonies of the blessings of the House of the Lord in Kirtland, Ohio, and recognize that it's going to be very similar, a different purpose, be built for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to recognize that His coming is imminent, and we know also that it's only the pure in heart will inhabit Zion. And so let us pray that the Lord will create in us new hearts and to sanctify our lives for this new year, for much work to be done. And so I pray that as we continue to strive to do the Lord's work, we know that His Zion will be. We know that Enoch City is making preparations even at this time to come and to come back on the earth. And we know that will be a great reunion. I feel like even this morning, as we've been not allowed to come to church for a week or so, that this is a type of reunion. We're happy to see everybody. We miss each other. We gain strength from one another. And so it's good to again come back into this sanctuary and to recognize our Heavenly Father's blessings through His Son, Jesus Christ. Might the newness of this year continue to cause us to go forth and to share the hope of the gospel with those we come in contact with, that we might be ready, our hearts might be pure for Zion, for the kingdom here on earth, is my prayer.
Be here this day with these, my brothers and sisters. We have come this day to remember once again the gift you've so freely given to us, Father, the gift of your only begotten Son.
that allows us to have an opportunity to return to your presence. Father, this day we've been reminded that we need to make those changes within our lives that allow us to come into your presence. And it can only be done if we would follow the examples that your Son has given to us and taught us during his time here. We know his desire that each of us who claims to be his followers and have made covenant, that we would each day do a new thing in our life, that we might follow the example he has given to us, that we might be able to share with those around us that good news, that gift you've given to us. So bless each of these, my brothers and sisters and myself, as we go from this place, as we go to our homes, as we continue each day, that we might seek to make changes each day. Father, once again, we praise you and thank you for the gift you so freely given to us. Might it be a gift we never take for granted, but that it would indeed change our lives from this day forward. So we look forward to the blessings you would have, for we ask all of this in the precious name of your only begotten Son, Jesus. Amen.
Praise God.